Sorry, guys. Baseball season?
That's the rumor.
Do we actually think this is going to be Super Bowl?
It depends. It's up to us.
So
with that, I will then call us to order. It is Wednesday, April 24th, 2019, calling to order the Kaiser Little League Park Long Range Planning Task Force. And we've got everybody here. Do we need to do roll call for the record?
No.
Okay. Debbie has the attendance for the record. We do have a new member by name, not by position, so if you want to introduce yourself real fast.
I'm Rob Spark, just Gary Baseball, and I'll be taking over for Bo Knight, who's taking over for Ryan.
Nice to meet you.
But Bo, you're still staying.
I know you.
I think we've met.
I might have your son inside.
Are you a teacher?
I try.
What do you teach?
Science and fire.
All right, fabulous.
So, in the same class as on his team.
So, you know how to.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much. Councilor Parsons.
Thank you. On behalf of the Volunteer Coordinating Committee, this is Volunteer Appreciation Month, April is. And so because you guys are volunteering your time and working on this committee, we get cookies. So this is just an appreciation and a thank you. Wish we could do more, but that's it. So.
Well, you got my favorite kind.
Which one?
Bless you. The M&M. There we go. Okay. Thank you. Well, we have a napkins. Do you have napkins up there by your phone?
Yeah, everybody has napkins already, so grab your cookie and pass it around.
Debbie knows
there
that.
You go.
I just want you guys to know, so I'm not trying to be rude, but I get 500 text messages from them at that park, so I'm trying.
Okie doke. Minutes from February 27th, 2019. Were there any additions or corrections? Oh, I'm interested. Sorry, I skipped one. Appearance of interested citizens. I believe Mr. Dempster is an interested citizen.
Yes.
Who wants a cookie?
Yeah.
Mr. Dempster.
We're talking about primarily grid roads and the front of the parking lots in terms of baseball fields. And many, we discussed a lot of different parts of it, so there were some issues or things we'd like you to think about in your long range planning. So, first off, the gravel parking lot that you use, Public Works went out and graveled it and packed the gravel and brought the parking lot entry back up level with the road. The complaint was that because there was a drop off there, you were chewing into the asphalt, which eventually was going to create a problem. It wasn't a big problem. And plus, there were 60 drop off. But it wasn't totally bad, but it was getting worse. And so, the Public Works is. The other part we have is a very narrow road, really a narrow road, and there's a white fog line. I'm just going to call the north and talk to you about that. There's a white fog line on the west side of the road, and the right side, you have the train track, but there's no parking on the right side, the east side of that road. Anywhere near the road. There shouldn't be any parking on Ridge Road at all. You do have parking lots. But apparently, in the past, lots of people parked up on Ridge Road in the road. And they were even over the fog, I guess that's the fog line, you know? Okay. They're over the fog line. My reading of it, they shouldn't even be on the asphalt at all. They're going to be up there. That's a problem. Either I'm not sure if you just have too little parking or people just park up there out of convenience. But it is a problem. The other thing that's happened since we developed the property to the north, there's a lot more, I went out and checked it, there's a lot more traffic on Ridge Road that didn't used to be there. They're going up since they don't want to take a left on to Kamala, like my mother-in-law. she would go all the way up after the baseball park, up and down Kaiser Road, so she could get all the way down to
Verda.
Verda, without taking the heavy bus and then take a right to the traffic signal to get safe. You're getting a lot more traffic. I also noticed there were a lot more pedestrian and bicycle traffic. Three times when I went out to check on it, for some other reason, there were kids biking, scooters, walking along that. If that occurs, there's no place to do this. No place to do this. So it's an issue. It's a problem. It's some tension. There's no drop line in the parking lot. There really isn't a system if you bring your kids up and drop them off and go on. Instead of just stopping in the middle of the street. And when, if there's a game going on, or, well, that's usually when the park is full, there's no place to stop without stopping in the middle of the road. There's not too much traffic, yeah. It's not great. So those things need attention to some effect. There's a bike lane on Tyler Road and the bike lane. It works after going to baseball. And we, of course, this is part of the old bike lane. We have a lot of bicycles on there. So you can use a lot more bike lane on that road and the bike lane. The first thing we brought up.
And then just have it walk down.
We, and maybe you know more about it, but we didn't see any ADA access to the fields. And if I was in a walker or a wheelchair, pretty much you left me in a crowded parking lot, and there's no way to get down to the convenient. I mean, I could pick up a car there, I guess. There is a convenient way to get down there, and we think that in the on a regular basis, because I mean, I know right now they're saying, oh, we'll just ride the car down there. Yeah, I don't think you want that as your policy.
They pick up anybody that can't walk down there, they pick them up and they gate them, they have a small gate.
Right.
They take them because sometimes they have to walk a block and a half.
That would be necessary.
Yeah, they do that.
They have to skip, yes. Okay, so I'm glad you're raising that. We were concerned about it in general. Yeah. I don't know what, I'm not even sure what ADA compliance means. I suspect it's
complicated.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have through the Council of Governments an agreement contract to perform an ADA compliance plan for the city citywide. Okay, with the parks, streets, buildings, city owned buildings, everything that the city is responsible for. It's not done. When it is finished, I want to at least have a very clear idea of where the issues are, and then we can come in and plan on how to address the issues. What I understand right now with parks, okay, and ADA compliance, in a facility like the Little League Complex, the entire facility does not have to meet any compliance requirements. However, there are some areas that do need to meet and need to. I don't know the details of how that works, but maybe pick a field that is access to that field is compliant. That will come out of this compliance plan that we see. So I know enough to know that it's not the entire complex that has to be brought to ADA, quote, ADA compliance standards, but a portion or portions of it probably do need.
Marlene?
So, ask a question, Bill. And we've talked about this for, I know, 25 years, as long as I've been around, about paving that parking lot. Now, is that in the five-year plan of the parks, of our parks fees?
It is not.
It is not?
It is not. And the reason it is not is because under the current agreement, the city has no responsibility, outright responsibility, for improvements in the complex.
And what is
now, not to say that we can't modify the agreement, participate in them, but because of that, that was not put into our 3-5 plan.
However, at this time, you know, part of the work of this long-range planning task force is to identify mechanisms by which the city and the management group that evolves for capital improvement projects, and that would be one of them. Mm-hmm. Because individually, the city or the management group for the complex will not be able to do this, but together, we may be able to apply for grants and find funding sources for that to plan that project. And it is going to be a major improvement because of many of the issues that you already identified that I would believe we wholeheartedly agree with in terms of parking, drainage, signage, traffic flow, et cetera, et cetera. So this is not a it is a more complex project that will have to be engineered, and that is definitely recognized, but it will have to be planned separately and funds applied for.
Well, if that's where we're
talking, we bring
it to your attention. I have a follow-up question about the parking. So when the church, does the church not allow you guys to use for parking?
So which church?
Church of Christ.
That's the one on the north side.
Yes. They're a really good partner.
So we're allowed to use it on days when they don't have service.
Okay, which is?
Wednesdays and Sundays.
So you can't use it Wednesdays or Sundays, but you can. So if we're you to have the access to that parking lot and access to the other parking lots, why are we allowing them to still park on that road?
We don't allow anybody to do anything.
No, I'm talking to the building. I mean, why haven't we stopped that? I'm just saying. Why?
That's still not even enough a lot of times, especially during tournaments.
It's not
illegal
to
park on the
actual
road.
Well, it says no parking.
But it says no parking on
the road. No parking on areas, yes. But all of Ridge Drive is not a no parking zone.
That's true.
Okay. There are some areas on the west end of Ridge Drive where it's not parked, no parking. And so it's legal to park there. It may not be the safest, it may not be the easiest to get in and out of your vehicle on an angle, but it's not illegal. And having been here a long time, we as the city recognize there's a need for parking that's really specific. There's not enough parking lot there. There just isn't.
I know, I just figured since the church opened up that.
And so that's the money.
There's
so, you know, having a parking along the Ridge Drive as bad as it might seem helps that problem.
It's the parking lot under the water tower
there? Yeah, that wasn't there.
Is that the
parking? Down below, he's talking about
it. Okay. So has the other church let you use, I mean, I know it's a little farther away.
It's
but I don't remember the name of the church.
That's
the
church on the hill.
Church on the hill.
And no, we haven't approached them about parking down there because of the fact that there is the walk path. Most people probably won't use it. A lot of people don't even use the church on the street.
A walk in the middle of the street.
Even though we tell everyone how parking works, a lot of people still don't utilize the parking in the church and we'll just park down the road. Especially, right now Field 3 is closed, but especially if they have games on Field 3, people love to park right there on that, right where that field is. So, parking is an issue, and we're totally aware of it, and we do our best.
It's just the traffic is like I said, the traffic is bad.
Well, with that new apartment complex and stuff. See, that's the other thing, too, is people started parking down in the apartment complex and walking through that gate that they put in there that gave them access to the park, and that's why we had to close off that gate, because
we had to ask the other thing was a complaint about that some people found the gate closed, and I'm not sure whose gate it is.
Well, it's the apartments.
But people wanted access and park, though it's a public street. So you can park on Heritage as soon as you can park on.
That's not a public street. It's a parking lot to the actual apartment complex, and that's why we got complaints for our people parking down there, like coaches and stuff. We were taking their team stuff in there. It's that part where that gate is not a public street. It's an actual parking.
McLeod, it ties into Kayano. That's the only public street out there.
So that other one that goes north, south, little short.
The amount of dog poop and cigarette butts that we would find right at that gate, that's what made us close it.
There was a now they know the answer to take that. And I have one more item I'd like to do by everybody for business. There were no bike racks, unless there's something I don't know about. There were no bike racks.
At the park, there is.
There's two of them.
Oh, two?
One in each parking lot. But they're on the inside.
Yeah, they're in the park.
Yeah,
they're inside. They're right at the gates.
All right. There was some concern about whether it's apparently other than where they were. They can't get in there.
T-ball fields.
It's good for him.
All right, this was several of them. These are some, I guess, concerns we had. One of the things that most of them would be solved in the long range than immediately probably deal with.
And one of the things we might encourage is if there's an opportunity to put out an A-frame when the church parking lot, because some people may not park there because they don't know that it's okay. I know the communication has been, but when you have a visitor or something, if there's an A-frame that says...
parking this way.
Yeah, parking. I did overflow, Kale, overflow, baseball parking, and then talk to the church on the hill, see if they would be open to that as well, to let people know that that is an okay option, because I know I would not want to go into somebody else's parking lot without knowing I'm invited. And
yeah.
They have very big signs in front of the church.
Yeah.
Whether
it's open or whatever.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, so the church has been really helpful with that and letting us utilize that parking lot, and they've been helpful with the signage and stuff too, so...
And they've been doing projects on the park there. They've adopted that park as...
Oh, yeah, they came out in droves for the volunteer day. Oh, that was you, yes.
Yeah.
And fed us very well, so that was nice. Thank you. But, yeah, no, there's signage. It's just everything needs an upgrade. Everything. The parking lot, the signage, the communication of that. We totally understand we're as frustrated. Trust me, we've kicked people out of the fire lane constantly, you know, so we understand. And I'm sorry that it's a burden.
We're concerned that apparently it was your job to plan. not our committee, so we've got to share it.
So in the long-range planning, the ability to partner for capital improvement projects such as the parking and multimodal accessibility are top of mind.
I think we'd like to see you eliminate parking on Ridge Road. If too many kids up there on bikes, too many people walking, for you to narrow that down to an 8 or 10 foot wide road.
Oh, that would be just, we'd have to.
It might be possible to put a sidewalk in at some point for an hour and a half, just with all that.
Pretty good drop off there. Yeah, it's west of the road.
Oh, yeah.
I would want to park.
Yeah, we can't do it around that house. We took every inch of right away to do the turn.
What about, this is going to sound funny, but there is like a park. This weird little three tree park.
And the garden.
It's got more than three.
Yeah, pretty much, just so you understand, pretty much that whole area at the bottom of that hill,
yeah,
where the tree parking lot, the road, is kind of a high shape.
Yeah.
That whole park.
Can't we?
That's all called Bud Brew Park.
Adopt it and turn it into the road?
It's called Bud Brew Park.
Can we call it the Bud Brew Parking Lot?
Well, it's got a community garden and a bunch of other stuff in
there. The challenge with that is, when I talk about this lots of times off over the years, the challenge is to get up the hill.
Well, you put stuff.
Well, but see, if we build something new, then it has to be ADA compliant.
It can't.
Yeah, we have to put the switchbacks in.
The challenge is the hill.
So if it's a, I guess you can't say no, like you make more handicap parking in the main lot. And that's just for all the able-bodied.
Every parking lot has to have their own.
Well, I'm just
depending on the number of spaces.
If you come in through these trees, on the downside,
to
park down here, when you come in on the level down through these trees, or over-engineer this to raise this area, bring in fill. So you'd have to bring in fill all in through here.
When that water tower goes to that parking lot, that's a good
problem. Well, but if you bring in fill, you got to deal with drainage anyways.
Yeah. and right. Rushing flood that neighborhood.
And when the water tank was built, that's how the parking lot got paved.
Yep.
The long story about it, the city needed to place a tank there, and while we had the right to because it was a city park, the water department, water fund, the trade-off was we'll put our tank here, we won't get in that park.
That's a huge patch of nothing
right here.
Is that how that park
is? Is that the tribe's
owner? Yep.
Otherwise, it probably
that's
would be paved today.
I can't
say
that. Area D.
However, it's probably likely and probably not paved by today.
It's still not right away.
It is still
not
right away.
And that's going to be developed.
Yeah.
And this is all private.
So
it's all private.
I move approval of the February 27th minutes.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to accept the minutes from the February 27th, 2019 meeting. Were there any additions or corrections? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes unanimously. Report and discussion. Subcommittee. Who's at the lead off here?
Matt.
So, the subcommittee, well, I, as a participant of the subcommittee, I participated in a joint board meeting with both Kaiser Little League and McNary Youth Baseball. We talked for about an hour and a half about a lot of the goals and a lot of the discussion that has been crafted to date as it relates to the subcommittee and kind of the overall restructuring to a single entity for purposes of taking care of the facility. Overall, my take from it was relatively positive. I don't think I think the concerns were more related to things that really had nothing to do specifically with the facilities, more in terms of the individual philosophy and then maybe some other external people coming in and wanting to use the field and things like that. I got a very good sense from talking with both organizations that they were on board with moving forward with the plan to sort of centralize the maintenance and operations piece. From what I understood, both organizations were actually in conversations or will be in conversations about creating a joint facilities board this year. Lisa actually brought that up as a possibility to welcome MYB onto that, and I don't know what the outcome of that has been so far. Brad made it sound like it hasn't quite taken off yet, but that could be wrong.
I sent in and I got responses, and then I stopped.
Got busy. Okay. I think as things start to kind of progress, they're going to start working on the concessions thing and start to kind of share that a little bit. But realistically speaking, I think that we're in a position now to really begin to flesh this out from an organizational standpoint, create the bylaws, create the sort of administrative functionality of this to possibly go into after the season, probably in the fall, and really kind of hammer this to get it knocked out, everything is in place so that when they actually start to move into the next fiscal year, it's under a new banner. Now, it may not necessarily be completely perfect. I think there's probably going to be some things that will probably have to be tweaked after the first year. And when I'm going to say year, I'm going to talk about fiscal year, July to June type thing, because that's generally when they're going to start getting busy and really putting things into play. There'll probably be a need to have a little bit of latitude in terms of, like as I mentioned, getting this thing put into place administratively in the fall, leaving them enough wiggle room to move their toes in their own shoes so they can kind of figure out things as they need to get figured out, bring those notes back from that first sort of year and a half, because it'll be fall, then a full fiscal year, to basically iron out any additional tweaks and recommendations that they have. So it's going to require a significant amount of flexibility on the organizations as well as the city's part to want to work through that. But ultimately, from what I understand after talking with these guys, I think they're really on board. The conversation about renaming the facility was kind of a sacred cow I wasn't ready to bring up, but it actually, I think, went fairly well. I think there's a significant desire to do what the organization said in the subcommittee, which would be to memorialize everything that's happened to date. And I think that that's really critical. I think if they're going to rename the facility, regardless of what it is, Kaiser Lily League from its inception until now, NYB through its inception until now, really need to be able to have something to sort of look back on and say, yeah, this is how we got here. And again, recognizing the initial volunteers that helped build this thing. And I know there's some stuff there now but really kind of make it a very hallmark thing for folks to go down and say, okay, this is the house that volunteers built, so to speak.
Mr. Lerner, was there talk about getting a sponsor and sponsoring and having it?
Eventually. And actually, we brought that up, and so I think it was Pape, from what Tony Cuff said. At one point, Pape was it Pape? I think it was Pape.
Yeah.
It was kind of in talks on it, but the problem is there's so much liability because of some of the fields and some other things. They just couldn't put it. They couldn't put it into play. Mm-hmm. And with the uncertainty of who's got the contract, when and where, and things like that, it just wasn't ready to sort of kick off. So I think as this rolls out, there may be an opportunity to have that conversation a little bit more. You know, if they're able to create this organization and say, okay, look, we need to find somebody that's going to bring, you know, $5 million to this field for the next 10, 15 years or whatever to help kind of bring it up to a new standard, that's obviously going to be something they're going to have to work out, but definitely on the table for
So, Matt, when you're talking like the bylaws and stuff, are you saying that we're going to wait till we get everybody together to hash out the bylaws, or is that something maybe we could do a rough draft?
No, it's going to
hash it out from the rough draft.
I'm about 80% complete right now drafting them.
Okay.
Based off of what I heard from the two organizations, and what I did is I took the mayor actually sent me Kaiser Heritages, which is a multi-organization unit, and I'm tailoring that right now to encompass both organizations, and then talk about how the external men's wood bat league that they want to, you know, they want to be able to participate, but they won't be part of the O&M. So they were a little bit concerned, like, oh, what is this going to do for us to allow the fields? Well, nothing except for make it easier, because you're going to know when all KLL and NYB are using the fields, then they can tell you, yeah, you can use the fields on these dates, right? So. The goal would be to basically have it in place, have it written out, let both organizations basically get them and then work on them within their organizations,
okay.
And then kind of toss some drafts back and forth a little bit, and then hopefully, like I said, by the time fall rolls around, we can really dive into the soup and nuts of it, and then that way as we come out of the fall going into the next season, they're ready with a very good baseline document. And maybe the contract still resides with Kaiser Little League for now until we actually get I don't know how that's all going to work out. We'll let Bill and Chris and Shannon figure all that piece of it out. But if they're operating as an organization and they're kind of beta testing it or they're full out, you know, hey, we're operating, but we're going to need some flexibility, I don't know. We can get to the details of that, I think, moving into FY21, but or 20 or whatever the heck it is, but something like that. Yeah. But yeah, so I think we're really close. There wasn't anything that I walked out of there thinking that was a major negative. They really liked the idea of having that ownership in the concessions to, you know, set a goal, a fiscal.
Can you go into a little more detail on that for those of us who weren't at the meeting? What does that look like in terms of that funding model? Because I thought it was extremely innovative, and I think it's very practical.
So the funding model for concessions is going to be a net revenue generator for the entire year. There were some numbers around. Lisa has the notes on that, I think. But the expectation would be, they set a goal, an annual goal. Let's say if it's $35,000 net revenue from the concession stands, all of that money would go into the O&M pot of money and go directly towards the facility. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Anything beyond that, let's say if they made an additional $10,000, 50% of that $10,000 would go to the O&M facility, so an additional $5,000. The other $5,000 would get split among the organizations that they can use for their programs. Now, whether they choose to use that for sponsorships, whether they choose to use that for equipment, what have you, it creates that incentive for them to want to share that participation and ensure that there's bodies there doing the concessions, ensure that, you know, everything is done according to the plan. And I think the concessions plan would probably be drawn out in the bylaws and sort of that organizational structure piece. So it's very clear how to operate those concessions.
And the slot fees, that went over good?
Eliminating the slot fees was like, yeah, duh.
Yeah.
Except for anybody who's not used for it.
Exactly.
That's right, yeah. Right.
We're just talking about the two organizations here.
Yeah, so for example, if the Wood Bat League comes in and they want to play, they're going to pay slot fees.
Yep.
So right as we're getting to wrap up, I threw a grenade in the room. Figuratively. And the big concern was is the slot fees generate... What did we say? It's $24,000 a year or something like that?
Well, that's what we paid last year.
Okay. So $24,000 and whatever MYB is doing. And I asked the folks, I says, you know, who's busy? And they all kind of looked at it like, well, duh. Right? And if you take a look at the baseball costs in 1994 versus the baseball costs now, they've gone up a little bit, but they haven't gone up so significantly that it's, you know, a measurable change. And so the question I asked was, do we want to take a look at this from a much more... user-friendly, for lack of a better term, experience, and say, rather than paying slot fees and all this and this and this, and would you be interested in just paying a bunch more money for your student to, or for your kid to play ball, and then that money goes into the O&M pot, and you don't have to show up for volunteer days.
And it would,
operations and maintenance.
Operations and maintenance. Is that
the facility.
So, like, we would be paying a facilities person to...
Not necessarily, but... And that was conceptual, right? We don't know. I mean, maybe it could be. I don't know. But again, it was one of those things, like, talking with a couple of people afterwards, they're like, we would pay easily $200, $300 a year to not have to show up and volunteer. And so it was a different concept. Nothing got put in stone. Nobody said, yeah, we absolutely want to do that. But it was a concept that was thrown out. And like I said, a couple of people came up and just says, yeah, I'd pay up to $500 a year just to not have to show up if it meant going towards the facility and maybe bringing in, you know, hiring somebody for the season to do the mowing, hiring somebody to do what have you. But
can I interject on that?
Yeah.
So the devil's advocate side, just the experience from what I see in terms of volunteers and money. So we can't, well, at least for Little League, we can't force anyone to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Right? So if somebody comes to us and says we can't afford it, they play anyway. If I charge Joey $300, right? Because his parents don't want to come to field day, but his parents didn't come to field day anyway last year. I have to be able to justify that fee, right? That increase, whatever it is, even if it's $10. And I already don't get people out of those fields and they don't pay it, right? So it's not going to somehow, unless I'm going to, because right now, as it stands, I've put in 60 hours so far just from Saturday to today out of those fields. And unless we're able to charge all this extra money and pay somebody through that foundation, like if we pay somebody, that makes sense. But anytime you're saying this for a volunteer, I'd rather have a volunteer.
Well, and again, it's a concept. It was just something to throw out.
Oh, yeah.
No,
I'm just saying that that's a drawback for that potential.
So the idea actually goes back many years to community pools, right? So, for example, you paid X amount of dollars to be part of a community pool, and then you had an expectation. Now, again, it's a membership thing. I get that. But there was an expectation that you put X amount of hours per year to help, or you could pay.
Okay.
And so it's kind of following a similar thought process. I mean... It may work, it may not. I mean, who knows? You might get surprised, and it may cost $50 for a kid to play baseball that year. And you say, "Here's $300," and you don't have to never have to. And you're going to have people that just simply aren't going to show up. I got that, right?
Obviously.
But again, it's taking a more creative approach to looking at how you're going to bring in revenue for those things.
The only thing that I ask that you consider when you're considering these different ideas is that you make sure that with both organizations, you're finding out how those actual organizations work. And this is not me grading. I'm just saying because both of us, while we're similar, we do have, we're umbrella, right? So we have these upper things that we answer to. right? We have an entire international league, right? And you guys have an entire something, don't you? Or a state something, right? We have rules that you follow. And so we have to, you know, we have to answer to those things. And so we can't just, whatever the foundation ends up coming up with, it has to, if MYB and Kaiser Little League are going to be the two things that come together for this, it's going to just have to be something that works well with those operational things as well as the league, if that makes sense, cost-wise.
Well, that's kind of what I'm hearing is where this is going, where the maintenance of the field, if rather than have one baseball program running the operations, having the membership, the local people who make up our baseball softball community, are creating this this parent organization that for the operation and maintenance of the field, that allows these two organizations to be able to do program there without having to do the spot fees and all that other stuff that was creating all sorts of extra layers of headaches and so forth. So part of this discussion, what I'm hearing, is that if we're looking at something beyond with the concessions, that's pretty straightforward how that would work to fund operations and management. The other piece is the volunteerism, if people want to, you know, add that in some way. And it was a lot of our pools, when I did the budget for our pool, we expected a certain percentage just to pay to get out of the work days. They're like, here you go. And that was part of our budgeting. But that's something both organizations are going to have to look at, especially when certain programs either are under-costed or there's no cost associated, you know, having certain programs with no cost to the parents. So that's a decision that programmatically you guys have to make. What we're trying to do here is whatever works for the operations management, how you guys run your programs, make a home run. Do it.
Well, I would almost suggest then that your split idea here would offset whatever potentially you might gain in the cost of raising a price to cover a field spot fee. So you might as well just let the park keep that other 50% or the $10,000 rather than.
The idea behind it is not to mandate it, right? So the idea, you know, a very wise man said you lose 100% of what you don't ask for, right? So if you go into the year and you say, you can volunteer, we expect volunteerism, or if you know you don't have the time, give us X amount of dollars to kind of help get this thing in play. Don't mandate it by any stretch of the imagination, right? But give it as an option. You know, you would rather mandate, so to speak, the volunteer time, but if people simply can't afford the time and they can afford the money, why not ask for it? And it will help offset some of the time that isn't there, right? Not, and it's not going to completely replace, but it would definitely it could definitely offset it. Again, it's conceptual. There's no fine period on it, but it's just taking a look at another opportunity to maybe supplant money with time. Because right now I can tell you right now as somebody that volunteers often, right, you know that your time is very precious. And let's say you find a new opportunity to volunteer, but you just simply don't have the time, but you still want to be a part of what it is they're doing. And somebody says, look, either you can do this or you can give us a couple bucks to help go into it. Well, yeah, here you go. Here's 20 bucks, right?
Okay, so on the flip side of that, I am a person who has volunteers for everything, right?
Yeah.
But it's mostly because I don't have money. Right.
Right.
Normally the time, but I'm not going to be that person that's going to be able to hand you the couple bucks. Like, oh yeah, absolutely, I don't want to do it. My league, the majority of those people are that. Okay, so that's all I'm just saying is those are going to be things that we definitely think about with regards to this community. If we're, you know.
But again, if they say no, then you're not any worse for wear than you are right now.
No, I know. We've asked. We sent out a letter that said, hey. Because I did it at Collective Creek when I was on the PTA. They just said, you can't get anybody to do anything around here. I'm going to send a letter home. And instead of volunteering or any fundraisers or anything, send us what you can. $1, $5, $10. I made $200. It was good for that time. But, I mean, so yes, it's sort of the same concept. And it doesn't ever hurt to ask, but
I think one of the things I'm hearing, though, would also be with the heavier use of the concessions, with the people playing at the field, we're going to see probably net revenues go up, a lot more collaboration happening, and a lot easier for people to volunteer because they're going to be all there in the same facility.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a real plus this year as we beta test, you know, this change this year on how that happens. And the big thing with the concession stand will be consistent staffing.
Well, and that's, and you're absolutely right. The biggest point of concern was making sure that they're carrying on the success that they've seen in the concession stand over the last couple of years, and making sure that they've got really good, very well established processes, whatever the word. What's the word I'm looking for? Processes? Process?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. My tongue just went. So they can do that. And that's really it. And I think, again, sharing that opportunity to get that extra revenue is going to be a major bonus, too. So.
But you have to have someone, like Clint has done, you know, organize, you know, the procurement, the operations, the accounting, and
that would be
and
a dedicated
staffing.
That would be a dedicated member of the
that is
board.
All that they've got. Yeah. That's what they do.
The woman that we have this year, her concession manager, she just joined us, and she's a caterer or was a catering owner. So we got a good one.
Who's that?
Our name is Sarah Rose. I don't know what her business was.
Okay.
Name,
I'm kind of opposed.
So I think that's kind of it, unless Bo or Lisa has anything to add. And I forgot your name. I apologize.
Rob.
You were in the meeting, I believe, right? Okay. Unless there's anything to add, I think we're on pretty solid ground to at least finish fleshing out the bylaws and sort of the at least the high level organizational piece. My hope would be to finish the draft. Probably send it to Bill and Chris and Shannon so they can kind of take a look at it and make sure nothing's completely outside the realm of doable in terms of what the city's expectations are. And then once we kind of get the initial sort of nod to go back to the organizations, then go back and we can kind of start to flesh out some of the individual nuances between the two organizations. But like I said, I have a really good feeling that we're on a pretty good foundation right now.
So what's being beta tested this year then is moving from the slot fees into the concession stand revenue?
No. Slot fees are still in place this year.
Slot fees are in place this
year. Everything for okay. This baseball season is still status quo.
Okay. That's what I want to know.
The only things that we're really doing right now is I'm trying to get this complex committee thing off the ground, which is not new. It's just, you know how it is down there. And then...
And the complex committee is doing?
Well, so basically what it is, it's just they're going to be helping on, like, the projects that we have planned. So, like, there's already a plan in place for the money to be spent. So it's really just going to be about us just all coming together, manpower, time, energy, other ideas maybe. Because I'll tell you what, there's a couple things down there I'm like,
Okay, so that's... So the complex committee is one that you are working on right now. So that's one of the changes for this year.
Yeah.
Marlene?
Yeah, so I talked to a lot of people in the community that was there when I were there with our kids going through, right, and we volunteered.
Yeah.
And a lot of them said they would love to come when you guys have your cleaning days, your cleanup days or whatever they are, but there's no communication anymore. You know what I mean? Like, is there a Facebook page that you can send out to people,
yeah,
boost it or something?
She's everywhere on it. I mean, she's all over Kaiser, both Kaiser pages. I mean, I saw them.
Because I never did see when that day was, and I'm all over everything, too.
Well, it was the same day as the Civic Center cleanup.
So I actually, to be quite honest, I left the Kaiser page. I couldn't take it anymore. Last year, it was too much. My heart was breaking. But be that as it may, yes, I do have somebody who pushes it out there. If I'm being honest, just from a league standpoint, it's literally, this year has been the hardest. We have a lot of new people, and I tend to put a lot on my plate, and I'm trying to get that off, and it's not necessarily working, but I'm trying to, I have to let people succeed or fail, and trying to be that leader. So, yes, the communication aspects have been down this year, for sure, because I'm not
Yeah, I'm just saying if you just can hand it off to one of us on city council, we can share it for a lot of people. So
I should do then is just start adding you guys into these emails maybe that I do, and then that way when we have an event, I know in our contract, I think I was supposed to give you guys a list of events that we have out there, and I do have a lot of those. But it could be something that you guys could publish on the community calendar or what have you.
Yeah, just get into us.
Just get it to us, and we'll be more than happy to do that and get the word out a little bit more, for sure.
I'm the kid, Debbie.
Sometimes we just don't even know, right? So, for instance, right now we're getting 20 yards of dirt delivered on Friday that we now have to hand scoop in one gator from the garage all the way to field three.
So put it out there.
Right.
Yeah.
So we need front loaders and things like that.
Yeah.
But and people. But it's one of those things that I just got told about it today, right? And it's coming. So now it's like, yeah.
Who arranged that?
Oh, Brad.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's in Idaho for work.
So anyway, with things like this that need to happen, and this is something we heard in our very first meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Communication.
Yeah.
So it's not all on you.
No, I
don't. And it's how can we help? Thank you, David. How can we be of assistance to enhance communication? There's a lot of people with connections who can, once we know, things can happen. So that's going to be a big thing. So the complex committee is doing these maintenance projects. Is that what I'm hearing?
That's the goal.
Okay. And so who's on the committee, if I may ask?
Raw, was that you, sir?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Chad and
Ross, Sid. Right?
No, Chad and Sid.
Okay. Those two gentlemen, along with me, Brad, Kevin Catron, trying to dig off the top of my head, I think Tony Crow. Doug Howard. And I want to say that might be.
Okay, so that's your complex committee,
mm-hmm.
and they're getting the maintenance projects. That's the primary goal, is to accomplish the maintenance projects this season. And then.
Because for instance, Kevin, he knows roofing people, and those mm-hmm. guys might know a plumber, or I just need more people who know people.
Gets back out to communications.
Yeah.
So how can communications be facilitated? Because, again, this is all part of this beta test. How are we going to help put together the pieces necessary? Because this is going to happen under the new structure.
Yeah.
So this is one of the pieces of the new structure because it's O&M.
Yeah.
So how can we problem solve to get communications out collaboratively?
So right now, I'm adding them into our Facebook group thing. So we have a messenger, right?
Right.
Group. And so the complex committee has its own group so that we can just talk to each other.
Okay.
How
do you get it out past you guys, out into the community? We are doing this. Come on down and you can...
We haven't needed to do that yet.
So what
I would say,
my experience in it isn't on a scale as large as what Little League has done. As you're looking into the next couple of years with the projects, think back into the last few years and start to project out what some of those projects might look like over the course of the year, right? So you need bar tests on certain time frames, you need all these things. Part of that is because then you can start to sort of schedule things out. And even if you don't necessarily get on a specific day, you can say, this week we're going to plan on that. You're going to be able to open that up and have that be a little bit more predictable. Because a lot of times what ends up happening with volunteer organizations, and I suffer from this all the time, is it's a ready, fire, aim, and then all of a sudden you need people and nobody's available because they didn't know. Right?
Well, mostly that's due to weather. Right?
I understand.
Yeah,
but even weather, it's for some of those things you can kind of tweak and other things you can't. And that's where flexibility and having contingencies in play are going to be. But I think that's going to be one of the things that I think as you're talking in this facilities group, you'll start to kind of t- plan that out. So next year you can say, okay, what are four major things that we know we have to do for the facility over the course of the year? Boom.
Right. Well, and one of the harder things, too, is the fact that during the time of season is generally your better time to accomplish these goals, right? So now you're also fighting with practice and game schedules and tournaments. And I mean,
but you won't have to because you know what all the scheduling looks like next time.
We have all scheduling. I mean, all scheduling's there. I'm just saying that, but now, you know, like Field 3's closed and we still haven't finished it, but yet we've got MYB at the practice, I believe, on Monday. And I'm like...
So what I'm... Madam Mayor, if I may, yes. What I'm hearing is we need to tie this group in.
Yep.
And if there's people you can reach out to if you need a little bit of help, kind of facilitating that, whatever. But I think that's a really important thing. And then obviously having that conversation early with the concessions, it may not necessarily work out exactly the way that the organizations want it to this year. But starting that inter-league cooperation is going to be really important. Mm-hmm. Bo, what did you?
It was a question about concessions. So I think it would be best to be had with that group. So don't think worry about that.
Okay.
Okay. Dan.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So one of the things that I'm noticing is we're talking about things that you're saying that, well, we need people that can do this, and I think what Mayor Clark said is, and what Councilor Parson says is really, really important. If you let us know, Councilor Parson knows people can do some of the things you might need to do. Maybe she knows a plumber, somebody in the back or somebody in the front end of and the same thing with Mr. Hall and Mr. Lawyer. If you let all of us know what your needs are and what's going on, there are a ton of things that can happen if we know. And if we don't know, and it's just a matter of you're just going to have to figure it out by yourself.
And a big part of moving forward with the new group is building that bench, right? Mm-hmm. So you're bringing that collective knowledge from the two organizations, but the other external partners and what they can bring to the table.
Right.
And then once you've got that bench, I mean, this isn't creating anything new, right? Because that's what Clint and Bill and Roll and these guys did 30 years ago, right? They knew who they could call to say, hey, we need such and such.
Right.
Times have changed, things have changed. We just need to kind of reestablish those same things.
Bill?
I just want to mention, too, this is don't be afraid to ask the city of backers. No problems, no factors. There's no reason they can't produce in that complex, okay? The only problem I have is a qualified operator. And I say it that way. You don't have to have years of experience.
No, yeah. We don't even like all of them using our equipment.
Exactly. Some of them run backwards. We have equipment. If you're more than willing, we use the facility.
Yeah.
Okay.
You guys
just have to learn.
I can't have my staff volunteer in that park.
Correct.
Okay? I can't.
Right.
Because it's too close to what they do on a daily basis to have. But that is what pretending to be equipment. So just know that. Everybody know that. If you have a project, you need a backhoe or a weekend or something, get a hold of us.
You guys are doing that Friday?
We can do that. It's not a problem.
What's a backhoe?
It's got the
doctor on
the
front
and the
digger
in the back.
Oh, can I have it? Friday, please.
So, Lisa, what time are you guys doing on Friday?
Yeah.
There are
ways that we can.
Well, the park has been really amazing to the complex, by the way. They never make us pay. But Brad doesn't always want to burn that wheel, burn that bridge too much, right? Yeah, which we have been doing a lot lately with stock cutters, which we're thinking of just buying one at this point for as often as we use it. But, oh, did you hear about our new city lawnmower?
I sure did.
It broke.
It melted, it looked like, huh?
It melted.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Was there any warranty?
Was it bad for
it? It's a bad vacuum.
But, of course, that's the one we have, right? So, if you see patches of grass all over the place, it's because we don't have a bagger right now. But,
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Have they sent me a new one?
I don't know. To see if it's better just to fix it or to...
Oh, I see.
But, yes. So, I will give the list...
It's a city park.
Do you have Bill's contact information? Do you have his card or anything? Do you have a card, Bill?
Oh, yeah.
It's 911.
Yep, we have 20 yards of cinder.
When are you doing that on Friday?
Yeah.
Yes.
What time is starting?
Will the dirt be delivered at 1 on Friday?
In the afternoon?
In the afternoon.
Okay.
And then we have to get that on at 3.
So if Bill, I ran the crap out of that backhoe. Bill will allow it. I have some time Friday I can give you.
You do?
Yeah.
Aw, thank you.
So.
All you have to do is ask. That's what we're saying.
We're
saying,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that can happen.
Well, get ready, boys and girls. I'm going to send some emails.
All right.
That's the idea, but this is the piece that, you know, part of the piece that we identified in our first meeting was how do we facilitate communications to ensure we have coordination of effort, and then we have the ability to bring in more people to be involved.
Okay.
So this is one of those pieces that if we can, this is part of the beta test this summer, how do we continue to improve communications and coordination? Because you can communicate, but if you don't coordinate, we're kind of back where we are. We'll be swimming over here and swimming over here, and the two oars aren't working together. So we not only have to have two oars, but they have to be pulling in the same direction.
Well, I don't know how Bo and Rob might feel. They might feel what Brad and I are feeling a little bit in terms of just, it feels like, so we have this that we're organizing and trying to be a part of, and then we have all that, right? So mm-hmm. It's just like,
right. But when we get that, but what we're trying to do is through all this, though, that we're bringing this together instead of all these disparate pieces.
Yeah, I think what I'm just saying is, like, my apologies for not communicating enough, perhaps, in terms of this aspect.
No.
Just because that other piece is just.
This is part of our learn. This is part of our learning.
Yeah.
This is part of our finding this new normal, which is going to have communications and the pieces that we want to have. That's what this is about. I'm going to go to Bill and then I'm going to go to Dan.
I just want to share with everybody in the room that may not know, the city isn't partnering in all of this, okay? Don't lose sight of that. And a very prime example of that is the new mower that we just mentioned that burned up the clutch. Casually, Brad contacted Robert and other much more community manager and said, hey, you know, we're really looking to see about getting the board of the bag and grabs and the infield and this and that, but we really can't afford it. Is there any way the city would partner with us on that? We found awareness with the cops. It stays with the complex. My point is, that's an example of partnering. And thankfully, to the community, the council and the community, the Parks Fund now has money, okay? 3 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to find $7,000 just for the long
run. 1 year.
I wouldn't have been there. Just flat, wouldn't have the money. Mm-hmm. Things have changed today, okay, thanks to the Parks fee. So we have the ability to do some things unexpectedly, I should say. Not always, but the main point is we're a partner in this. We're not the organizations to be out there all by themselves.
Right.
We partner where we can when it comes to park improvements, equipment that stays with the complex.
Yes.
We're partnering.
Yep.
Just remember that and know that moving forward.
What about schools, too? Because I know we've done a lot of work at Clear Lake and other schools that we use for.
I can't just allocate funds to schools because they're not.
Not necessarily funds, but equipment.
Equipment can be used there. It has in the past. It's a little touchier with the release part, the liability release, because it's not city property. But it's possible, I'll say that.
Okay.
It's not a no.
Okay.
Well, but there's been some much better partnerships with the school district than there were in previous administrations, so it's a good question to ask on what that might look like going forward if we can put some communications in place that would already be there.
Would you guys mark the two John Deere sit-down mowers? They need work, but I'm
like another half hour, so
the space.
All right.
Well,
we're
going to
stay there.
All right.
Right.
We'll talk about it.
So,
all right.
Do we need a formal recommendation to kind of tie this up and move on?
So, yes, we need a recommendation because of what we're going to be beta testing this summer. And so we know what. So we're all on the same page of what we want, what our expectations are at the end of this season. What do we want to see at the end of the season? So one of them is that we're going to have the bylaws they're going to be pretty much close to done.
What do you mean by end of the season?
Yeah.
Our season is probably.
Well, yeah, because their season goes till August, so we need to decide.
We were talking about meeting mid-August. Is that not
mid-August?
Yeah, I thought we were going to
meet. I think that's what we discussed last time. That was fine.
We're looking at getting us back together in mid-August to pick up this work. Is that going to work for you guys?
Yeah, no, I was looking for a date. I didn't remember what we talked about August, but that's fine.
Okay.
Because we said we couldn't have any more meetings after this one until August.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get all this done.
Yeah. But we want to make sure that during the season that as you are continuing to work together, we are mindful about what our outcomes are for when we get back together in August. Did this work? Did this not? What did we learn? Et cetera, et cetera. So we want to make sure that we're clear on that. And thank you, Matt, for kind of bringing us to that. So the bylaws. The other thing is now we want to make sure we have good communications on the complex committee and the execution of projects. So the learnings we want from that is what worked and how can we make it better.
Yeah, it's not going to be perfect.
No, of course. Human beings are involved. So there you go. Yes. Someone else? The other one I heard was Joint Facilities Board. Is that what this complex committee is?
The complex committee is specifically dealing with the projects for the complex over the next year, I think.
Okay.
Right?
Then the other one is the concession stand operations. We're going to want to report back on what worked.
Can we go over that?
Yes, please.
What does that exactly mean?
Well, from what I heard talking with the groups is trying to kind of get that there may not necessarily be the exact fiscal outcome at the end of the season, but starting that cooperative piece, right? So there's that kind of initial buy-in that both organizations understand that moving into the next season, this is kind of how things are going to start.
Volunteering,
yes.
The time, the energy,
and then the overall, and then the overall establishing as soon as possible the overall concessions plan and how that concessions piece is going to.
Is there going to be a concessions manager?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to have the one operational person.
Yeah. So the positions.
Have to have one person in charge, right, Clint?
Yes.
Yep.
So we're talking about the parent organization?
Yes.
Right. Yes. The parent organization.
Yeah. What specifically is the goal then for that in
for this year?
Pre-August.
At a very basic level, it's getting the written procedures for the concessions established. Understanding how you're tracking your food costs and your food.
So you would just like to know what we're basically doing this year.
That's part of it.
See how we implement.
But that's part of it, but it's also MYB, KL, talking, working out the volunteer times, and scheduling those things out to the extent possible, so that you're looking at the full season. You're going, okay, maybe I don't want to get into y'all's business, right? But just figuring out how you can try to make that work, so that if you know, it's a KLL heavy weekend. Maybe MYB is helping with concessions, or however that works out.
Well, so I'm just saying. So, like, this is the concession schedule and DOD schedule right here that for this year. And I didn't know.
Do they know that, though?
You don't go by teams, like tonight, the Pirates.
Well, not for this first week, but starting in May, yes. It is teams. And we always have a shift leave.
And then
it's one of us.
Does Sarah Rose take care of all the procurement? She drives.
Me and her. Yes.
You okay? So, but she'll because you're kind of busy, so she's going to be pretty much taking.
She's concession manager. She operates.
Okay, so she operates. So the accounting for the making sure that the money is appropriately handled because she's a professional. Mm-hmm. So she'll be able to do the accounting electronically.
Yes.
Okay. For outgo input, so she'll be
along
able to get
their treasurer. Yes, who will keep?
Okay, so you have a second. So, because again, when you're looking at how to ensure fiduciary responsibility, you want two at least or three. So, are you collaborating on how to do this?
No, I didn't even know this was part of this thing this year. So, no, there was no collaboration for concessions this year.
Yeah, that's, I mean, this...
We didn't,
okay.
We're, I don't think any of us were in the
There was an expectation, but there's an opportunity.
Yeah.
How might this, how Sarah Rose is operating this might be able to open that opportunity for managing this in a way that engages both organizations?
I would think maybe rather than trying to put something into place that doesn't exist right now, maybe we can look at this as an opportunity to kind of flesh out the administrative side of it.
Okay.
And work together on the administrative side and kind
mm-hmm.
of...
I like it.
Because I think it's too late in the game to try to say, okay,
yeah,
NYB and KL have to insert themselves in it. I think it's
yeah.
just, I think it's probably a little late. So maybe if the plan over the course of the next few months is to develop the concessions plan to move into the next year, I think a lot of that, probably on the outset, is taking a look at whatever they have right now,
mm-hmm.
getting that in a written out form, but then starting to figure out the fold in, because if you guys are going to want to say, here's our concessions plan for the city anyways, right? And then you take that and then figure out how you're going to sort of fold both organizations into it.
Yeah, I mean, and it might also just end up being something that until that foundation comes together, we don't really know how it could change
right.
or be better.
Whereas by having that information too, we come to the August meetings and we have these fall meetings and we get together, I think putting a plan into place would be a lot easier, knowing what's going on.
Yeah.
I think
work through the administration of it over the next few months
mm-hmm.
in preparation for moving into the next
yes.
actual mm-hmm. year to really actually implement the plan. I think it's...
Yeah.
And then if Sarah has the time to sit down with the NYB board so you guys know what this looks like. Again, it's that opportunity to be in on the ground floor for communications to
yeah.
say this is what we're doing. I know you guys met together, but if they know what's going on, then they can be a help and part of the process
to implement this.
For understanding
sure
how this works. It builds understanding.
The communication.
Here's the only reason why I say this is because technically the boards aren't going to have anything to do with it next year.
But
right?
the leadership.
But the leadership.
Yeah.
Oh, so you mean Bo and Rob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
and Brad.
And Brad.
And Brad.
And Brad.
Yeah.
You.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think they're...
I thought you meant like the whole board. I'm like...
No, no. That'd be impossible to do. That'd be impossible to do.
But definitely, then it builds that communication.
Yeah.
And if Sarah can sit down and go with, this is what I'm thinking, and that way it gets balanced with both organizations, so there you have the opportunity again for the expertise and the experience to say, here's some ideas that might make this even more successful. It builds that, again, ground floor communication. I think in August we'll have an even better sense then of where we're at and how it's going to move forward. So any chance we get that everybody knows what everybody's doing, I think we're going to be better off.
Yeah. Okay.
That's my intention here. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the reality is to throw us and our families into the concessions. When that was never
this year, yes.
No. Oh, no.
It's impossible to ask as well.
Right, and next year with not having the slot fees and you guys are playing all the time there and everything, then everybody gets that opportunity to
know what that
put their two cents in.
Sure. No,
we're
not absent from concessions, so you know.
No, yeah.
Our organization brings in a lot of funds for concessions for the thing.
Yeah.
So we understand.
What's that junk food?
So,
whenever you develop a plan to operate or manage a concession or any kind of facility, then right when it's working, because it gives you the opportunity to go, I didn't think about that.
Sure.
I guess take advantage of the knowledge and the community that's done it before, too.
Sure.
Yes.
Are you going to want a motion right now?
Yes.
Okay. So, Dan, did you have more?
I can just comment. Lisa, how long have you been doing your job with Little Living now?
3 years.
Okay. Just an observation. There are people in this room that total well over 75 years of
experience with Kaiser Foundation.
We have Clint alone.
And that started in his 30s. No.
I know.
I said, well, and we're not looking to have you reinvent the wheel. Use some of the knowledge and expertise that's here available, and it will make your life so much easier. And you won't even wonder, you know, why have you did it before?
I agree.
So,
in college, 3 years, I was just starting to figure some things out.
Yeah.
During the 90s,
I was part of the organization, but I mean,
I always lived there, so.
Yeah, no, everything's evolving and adaptable and everything.
So,
see, what I want to see is, like, put these bylaws and you're going to share those. But when we come back together in August, I want to see the short-term 12 to 18-month list from each of you guys. I mean, that's like your homework over the next several months is to bring us the field projects and priorities.
Well, we'll do that. That's where the complex committee this month is coming in. And they'll put that together and bring that to Bo and Rob and myself and Brad. And,
good. That will be great.
I have a coaches meeting.
I think we're just about ready.
Well, I have something. Because this task force is scheduled to dissolve August 20th.
Oh.
So I need maybe some input from everybody. How many meetings after that you'll need? Because we need to get have our legal department extended, and they will follow the date.
Oh, we'll need longer than that. Let's ask for extension in another 6 months.
6 months? Okay.
So, if I can put a period on this, Lisa, don't leave quite yet.
No.
So, things to implement immediately would be getting a complex committee together, establishing a communications plan and beginning to implement the communications plan.
Mm-hmm.
Things to implement would be the concessions planning and processing, et cetera, and so on. Am I missing anything else?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are we calling complex committee the same as the joint facilities?
Well, this complex committee is this year, kind of, and that's where you guys are going to start talking about.
I was hung up on names, so.
No, the joint thing is the overall big picture, I think.
Okay, so is that what you just listed? Are the objectives that we want to see happen during the season, and that we are going to? We want to report back in August. Is that a motion that we adopt that plan?
Do you want me to motion it out, or do we just say so moved?
Or is this so moved?
So moved.
No, Debbie's going to need.
Yeah,
she wasn't keeping track.
Okay, so.
Okay, he's going to repeat.
I got it. So I move that the complex committee and the communication plan are planned out and implemented, that the concessions processing and organization is planned out, and that the bylaws are drafted and worked through to bring back in August, the August meeting, for the joint maintenance and operations organization, yet to be named.
Got that?
Yep, me a second.
I did.
Yep,
I got my second. Use off the odd second. Did my voice back up the mainframe? Thank you.
All right. Discussion.
The only thing I offer is it's been an absolute privilege working with these two organizations. I think they've handled it extremely well. And, you know, Lisa and Bo and Ryan and Rob and Brad and all these folks have just been outstanding. And I'm really excited to see where we're going to be in 12 months.
I want to echo that as well. I think that we've made a lot of progress in understanding and communications, identifying our needs, and really setting our sights on a way that we are going to be able to take care of this facility. So kids will be still playing at ball on that place a long time from now, and it's going to be a good structure. So thank you all for your patience as we have found our way through this. Further discussion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion passes unanimously. Bye.
Sorry, guys.
Run. Okay. Run. Walk carefully. All right. Anything else for the good of the order? We will need to, Debbie will check in with Shannon to get us a 6-month extension. I don't want to do onesie twosies. I'm just going to put it out there. If we get done early, we get done early.
6 months is enough, huh?
From August to
February.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because they're going to be back into registration again already if we don't get it.
So the one question I'd have, Bill, when does the actual contract with KLL terminate? Because I guess this would could effectively just terminate the contract, right? If it comes into full.
I don't know. I'm talking
we need to talk to Shannon about that.
I think we just did it. As far as these parent organization goes, my recommendation is don't tie it
to the city system.
Tie it to the year similar to what the organizations have now.
I think it's September 30th or something.
Whatever.
Yeah, what do you guys...
Ours is June to July.
Oh, it is June.
My point is I think we really want to consider doing something that's October to September. I'm picking out a month off the top of my head. July to June stuff is right in the middle of the season.
Yeah, okay.
For reporting. Yeah, you're right.
For everything.
Yeah.
So in theory, if everything is tied up in August, it could move forward in September or October. Make that the new.
So if we did a calendar year, it would be very straightforward Okay. That's a good guidance. Okay, anything else? So the two things that will come is the extension of the task force, and then we will need to do a doodle poll at some point for a meeting in August. So Debbie will help us with that to get our first meeting scheduled post-ish season.
Well, when do you guys finish in August? Are you?
We actually finish the end of July.
Oh, do you? Okay, so. Of
course, but we start fall ball in September.
Okay, so August is good. August is good to have that first meeting to really get...
Yeah, if it's middle, I think it gives them time to go.
Okay.
So when did you take a break?
Never.
December.
August is long.
Fall ball ends when it rains.
End of October. Well, so the beginning of November.
Yeah, November, December-ish before you pick up, really start picking up again in January.
December is when our registration starts.
Yeah, so there's not a lot.
We basically have the month of August, which is practice time for fall, and then November, which is, scramble time to registration time. It's back-to-back, it never ends.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get an idea, like I was mentioned earlier, when structure that year,
well, obviously, our spring season is the most challenging. So anything outside of that is workable. Even if we have to do it during fall, it's not unmanageable.
Okay. All right. Sounds very good. Thank you, everybody, for all of your work and your support. We are adjourned.
Well, that's programmatic, it goes to the programs.